You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
I was watching something on the weekend, and I was thinking about our group here. Yeah. Curling teams are put together by 5 to 6 people. What about you and Noodles are our guys that throw the rocks? Me and Al's brother, sweepers, and Grappler and Malls, I don't know what they could do.
And smoke and drink.
And get competitive, like, not just get in it for a night out, play somebody for a match.
You have to know what the hell you're doing. Have you ever curled? I've never curled. You know who is like...
None of us have done it.
A specialist? Like Brian Mudrick.
You've had to curl.
Brian Mudrick is like the voice of curling for TSN, I believe.
Well, Vic Rauter. Not get crazier. We love Muddy, but Vic Rauter is the OG.
Correct. I don't want to...
Muddy is an up-and-comer, he's a superstar.
But I believe Muddy... I think Vic hosts it and Muddy does play-by-play or something.
Yeah.
I've heard him. They work together.
He does an outstanding job. I'm not saying that Brian Mudrick is not a superstar and we don't love Muddy.
Yes.
But do not defame.
I worked with Vic Rauter. Vic
Rauter. We get a couple practices in and we play somebody. Like, we'll take on TV or somebody.
Let's take on Vic and Muddy and...
Dude, they'll kill. You can't do that.
I don't know what... What are the names of the people? It's like a skip.
Well, it's a skip. The skip is the cap.
You've got to be the skip because you're the guy
The skip is the captain, okay? I'm the skip.
You are the skip.
It's a fact.
Me and Al's brother.
It's a team of four, and all of you curl.
Right. You all do throw the rock.
Throw the rock.
Right.
And the final one is called the hammer. Believe me, I'm all into it, man.
He's a hammer.
No, that's the name of the rock, the final rock you throw.
I apologize.
You guys are so ignorant. How do you not know more about curling?
I grew up West. Because I played hockey.
Every time they look up, they're like, how does it work? Just get it in the circle? I'm like, I guess.
It's a giant game of shuffleboard.
But they're trying to.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
That's what it is.
They're placing it, and they're not. It's just.
Do you know how tough it is to do?
Dude, I can't even. My biggest fear is I'd blow both of my kneecaps out trying to go down the.
Well, do you see how they have to get really flexible and down?
I'd blow both of my knees out.
There is one hero, though. He's like the Wayne Gretzky of curling.
My man, Russ Kevin. Howard.
Russ Howard is one of the all-time greats.
He's the Gretzky of curling.
He's kind of a balding guy. Kevin something.
Kevin Chappell?
Kevin
no, he's
Cooey.
On tour.
Kevin Cooey.
Kevin Cooey, that's right.
My
Kevin
guy.
Cooey. He's
my
very,
guy.
Very electric and well, kind of fist pumps.
The hero move of hero moves is the guy who he pushes off and they do the spin before they launch the curl. It's the only cool move.
That's not freestyle curling.
No, it's
the Youngblood move.
It's the Youngblood move. It's the only cool move you can do in curling.
Yeah.
Is you do a 360 and then you curl. It's the only thing that can make curling look cool.
Yeah. I think if all of us took one shot, we couldn't even get it into the circle, let alone like placing it off other rocks.
Well, I don't. Depending on the weight, Nat, I think we could figure it out. It's just, it's a very tough sport. And I don't. Is it a sport that you could smoke? And do?
Yeah, of course you can.
Like you put your dart.
I'm not saying it's legal. You can't indoors in Canada, so you wouldn't technically be able to do it.
I heard that tournament, the Scotties, they just get into it.
Yeah, it's a great event, man.
Beer tent, hole nine.
Yeah. Oh, people are tailgating and partying and everything.
If it wasn't Team Canada, I believe there was a women's team, and I remember her name was Rachel Holman. Horman?
Yep.
Holman.
Yep.
She came in. They were in Studio 6 with us.
No, she's like an all-time
great
as well.
She's a superstar, I believe.
Yeah. And I think she was represented us at the Olympics, I believe.
Yes, that's right. I think their team came into Studio 6 when we were doing the panel one night. We had a chat with everyone. But I remember tracking that name afterwards going, okay, I think she's a star. And I don't know if they break into provinces and that. Again, I don't know the
Well, that's what's
thing.
Always confusing about... you know, curling and determining who is going to win,
right?
You know, the championship, whatever it happens to be, whether it's the Scotties or what's the other one?
I don't know. Breyer?
The Breyer. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there's a team like Team Canada?
Yeah.
What's the other
one? And man, I'm not pretending to be some big curling fan. I'm not. I should know the name of the Breyer. It's a famous tournament. I did know the name of the Breyer. It escaped me for a moment.
Well, when you're described as the best sports host guy in Canada for your position, you don't even know the tournament.
We've never had a curler on the show.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we get our guy Russ Howard on tomorrow, my man.
Let's have Brian Mudrick on to school us a little bit.
Yeah, and maybe he could talk a little Habs, a little curling,
then we can
ins
work
and outs.
Backwards from that at some point. Let's not get crazy.
I think it makes sense. I mean, we can do that at some point. I wouldn't mind curling. It seems like a cool event.
Al's
like,
brother,
I can get
have
out
you
there
ever done it?
Al's brother's never done that.
He's got a low... Like, he could get in there. I bet you he would be dominant.
Me and him are the sweepers.
That's I think we'd take on maybe the first up crew. Like, Koliakovo would think he's pretty good. Landsberg would be... Landsberg might be sneaky good.
Carler would blow his knee out.
Yeah, he would for sure. He'd be on the IR. He'd
AK
definitely
be in the back
IR.
Chirping.
Oh, yeah.
And the Landsbergs would be... I bet you Michael would be sneaky good.
I could see that.
And Corey would be, too.
Yeah, so we'll look into it.
We'll take them on.
Yeah, maybe we'll, you know,
a curling match
for charity or something like that.
A little 11 a.m. match as soon as they're done their show.
I'm glad you started talking about this because I had a bit of a... I was going to bring this up. I wasn't sure, but I don't know if this is a ballsy move, but it kind of rattled me, and I wanted to get both of your advice on it. Is I had two gentlemen come to the house today to change my snow tires. It's a mobile group. They come and they put it on at your house instead of taking it to Canadian Tire or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I negotiated a price. I said, you know, X amount of dollars. I'll pay you cash if you want to, and you can have it. At the end, the guy counts it and goes, can I have a tip? He asked me for a tip.
No way.
He goes, can I have a tip? And I was like, no, your tip is that you got cash so that you can... drive away and pretend like you did this on your lunch hour. Is that ballsy?
Yeah, it is. I've never had anyone ask me for a tip.
Well, it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress will say, like when some people put no tip, they'll say, like, is there something wrong with the service?
Well, that,
there
yeah,
is no
that,
tip here.
Yeah, but that's a personal service that... Like, to me, waitresses and that, I always tip.
Yeah,
like,
but obviously, sure. that's a societal
this
thing. Dining, it goes without saying, you
right.
tip. You know that before you step in. I think what you run into here, and this is an example of it, maybe you should have tipped. Maybe,
no,
I think that's
no,
the
no,
bigger
no.
debate. I always tip. If anyone comes to my house to do anything, I tip.
Okay, but if you
I
take your car
tip.
In to get an oil change, do you,
that's different.
Five.
I can't
slide a 20 across?
It depends on what it is.
Okay, so how much did the tires cost? $1,000?
No, to get
change,
them changed?
Just snow tires from $200.
Yeah, a couple $100, tops.
But the point being...
Maybe a 20 spot.
Yeah, I think you hand over a 20. I think you should have known that going in, personally.
No. When you negotiate a price, and believe me, I wasn't being
Yeah, that's
cheap.
With the company, though. It's not like he
no,
owns the company.
Yes, it was with this guy's company.
But he owns the company. He's
company.
The only employee. No one else works...
I
with
think,
the company.
I think
Who
it was
cares?
Kind of
Throw
a...
the guy a 20 spot in the
yeah.
spring when he comes
no,
back.
No, but I understand what you're saying. No one should... I don't think anyone should
it
ever
caught
ask
me off guard
for a
because
tip.
Whether I'm being rude or I thought he was being rude.
No, he's being rude.
And I walked away because I didn't have any more cash on me. I was like, I apologize. I don't...
I got to be honest. I think you should be in a situation where you're expecting to tip, personally. I'm just going to say that from my own personal experience. If I have people coming by the house that are doing a job, unless it's like... A massive job. Like, I had an air conditioner
right.
installed into my new AC installed.
Right.
Use the Jiffy app, jiffyondemand.com.
But do you tip your Jiffy guy?
It was like a $5,000 job. I'm not going to give the guy $5 on top.
Right, right.
Like, $5,000 for a new,
no,
or whatever I paid.
You're right. I get
if
that.
If it's like, you know, if I have someone dropping off a couch, here's another 10. Thanks for dropping
but,
it
I
off.
And I always do. I felt like...
That seems, you
I
know...
Just, I thought that was... Maybe I'm in the wrong here, but I thought that was quite ballsy. Like, he counted the cash and was like, no tip?
Yeah, that
and
is.
And I was like,
that is.
Your tip
I think
is that...
I think you take it a step. If you're going to do that, you might as well just sewer them and say the name of the
No,
place
I'm not going to because I'm going to use them again. And I felt bad because I was
and
like...
They'll be racing over there.
Yeah, they can't wait to get to your house. Yeah.
I felt bad.
400 people ahead of you, Mr. McLennan.
Yeah.
We'll see you in February.
Although it's tough to get your tires changed, man. Like, this is where I wish I was a mechanic. I wish I had any skill outside of sitting on the couch and watching sports. Because I don't.
Right.
I can't do anything. And it would make my life so much easier if I could just change my
yourself.
Own tires.
Yeah.
It'd be great. And do you know how great of a feeling that would be if you walk back in the house?
But how,
tires are changed.
If they're on the rims, you can change them. This was, they had to put them on the rims and wheel and balance them and all of that.
You ever want to get a wife or a girlfriend to hate your guts? get a flat and you don't know how to do it and you got to call somebody, they're just like, you are useless.
Yeah. Well, see, I can do that. I can change a tire.
No way. You're calling
no,
CAA.
I did that on the way up to 400. Yeah. I was like just south of Gravenhurst and cars are just bombing past me. Now, I was out there for about a half an hour, more than that, but I got that little donut on the car. I'll tell you what, man, I've never felt more masculine in my life. I was just feeling it after I got that tire on.
It's a tough one if you don't know what you're doing. Your spouse or whoever is going to say you're useless.
I felt bad because I was rattled. And then in my mind, I'm like, should I have told this guy, like, don't eat yellow snow, never play leapfrog with a unicorn?
There's your tip.
Yeah.
Exactly. A little bit of knowledge. But curling.
I felt it was out of line, but then maybe I was.
No. I totally agree. It's out of line. No one should ever ask for a tip, ever. I'm just saying.
Those are typical.
I think it's
moments.
A tippable moment. I think him indicating that would suggest he gets tipped everywhere else. And there was probably an element of shock where he's like, wow, I can't believe you're not tipping me. I get tipped everywhere else.
When I call up and negotiate, like, not negotiate, I said, what do you guys charge
it's a
for
quote
that? And he goes, well, if you want to pay cash, you can do this price. And I was like, perfect. I'll give you $200
mm-hmm.
cash.
All right.
So to me, the assumption was it's off the books. Give me the cash. That's his tip.
That if he wants to pocket that, you would think that's a pretty good move. Yeah, I agree with you.
So
well, we'll let the people speak. You know, tweet in, text in, email in.
I'm not out of base.
If no, I don't think you are.
I feel very guilty because it bothered me the whole time because he was. He wasn't belligerent, but he was like, kind of like flat out asked me, like, are you going to give me?
Yeah, that is an astonishing moment.
It caught me off guard, and then he said to me, he goes, well. You can do half cash, and he pulls out his machine. He goes, you can.
Oh, you can go over the top on this to tip.
Like, well, then you're going to have to charge HST and all that. Like, the guy was really wanted a tip.
Well, there would.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would suggest.
Out of line.
I think he was out of line. I think for future occasions.
I'm going to have the tip ready.
Maybe be prepared. Kill him with kindness. That is the line you usually use.
And I feel guilty about it. That's
well, don't feel guilty.
I hope I didn't cross a line there.
It's all good. Jason Strudwick coming up in 20. We'll see what Struddy has to say about that. The Leafs are in action tonight. The Raptors are in action tonight. And, you know, this is a big moment for the Maple Leafs. And for the team in general, I think for the head coach, though, specifically. Fairly or unfairly, I think he has until December 1st to save the season for the Maple Leafs and maybe save his job here.
Really?
Well, look at what they're dealing with here, okay? They have been very inconsistent, as we know.
Correct.
Last night, Montreal, they score late, win in a shootout, they get 2 points.
Yep.
Florida down 4-0 in Boston, comes back, wins it
a
shootout.
I was watching.
They both leapfrogged the Leafs. Tampa's coming.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of time.
You know Tampa's
coming. Tampa's coming.
Especially with the games in hand.
Absolutely.
Too.
It's just a matter of time. They're too good. Tampa's coming. Buffalo, I don't know what to expect. I think they're going to drop. I don't think they're a playoff team.
The Leafs have a home and home with them at the end of the month.
Well, that's the whole point. So you've had, yes, a tough schedule in terms of volume, in terms of back-to-back, but not necessarily in terms of competition. You've played a lot of bad teams. Now, to be fair to the Leafs, they've won a lot of those games. Detroit, Ottawa, Minnesota, teams like that, San Jose, they've beaten those teams.
Yes.
But now you're looking at a 9-game stretch between now and December 1st. Begins tonight on the island. New York doesn't lose. They do not lose games.
Good team. Yep.
That's as good of a team as there is in the league right now. Friday night against Boston, we know what they're all about.
Yeah.
Then at Pittsburgh, at Vegas, at Arizona, at Colorado, at Detroit. And then at Buffalo, home to Buffalo.
And this on the road is tough. On the road is tough.
7 of the next 9 on the road. Mitch Marner's not showing up.
Yeah.
You've got a new backup who's in the American Hockey League yesterday who's going to have to play at least 2 games. This is your chance. Because if you get to December 1st and you go 2-7 over this run, you're going to be 4 or 5 points out, and you are chasing all year.
Well, all the
doesn't mean they can't do it.
No,
doesn't mean they won't do it. But it is tough to you know slow down or lessen you know shorten up the gap. I guess is what I'm trying to say. If you've got good teams, you know are going to keep winning. Montreal's going to get their points. 3 points game, 3 point games against Florida, against Tampa, against Boston, or whatever. This is it.
Right.
I agree with that statement. You look at that, I mean, there's Detroit where, and even Detroit, as bad as they are, They can still throw up six on you in any given night, so you can't look past that one. But all those games, all those teams are playing extremely well right now, and it's what they do is how they position themselves out of this run is going to be a major factor in where they end up in the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to be – can you come out of this? What do you think they got to come out of this?
Well, I think at least 4 or 5 at the worst. You know, if you go 4 and 5, then you're kind of hovering around 500. You're still in it. Anything less than 4 and 5, you're out looking in, and there's going to be a gap.
You're setting the bar low.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying that's
the
as
worst.
Low.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they go 6-3 or 7-2, we wake up on December 1st and we're saying, there's the team we talked about.
People got to stop with this nonsense about, well, Mitch Marner's hurt, so they can always use that excuse. There is teams playing around the league without great players in their lineup.
Well,
every single night of the week.
Pittsburgh's going to do it Saturday.
Yeah, they already did it. They just played about 10 or 15 games without Evgeny Malkin, but guess who said, I'll put it on my shoulders. But Sidney Crosby, and now he's going to be out.
Boston Bruins, as rough as it is for them in the last couple games, you take a look at their, like, DeBrusque is out. Like, they've had injury after injury. Now, the top line is still healthy, so that's your saving grace. But you're right. Every team has had some form of adversity with injuries. There's no team that is, like, the most healthiest team in the league right now. I mean, I'm sure there is if you look at man games lost, but, like, Edmonton's a team that if it depends on the injury, you know, McDavid or Draisaitl. But, like, it wasn't that long ago that Larson, who is their top-pairing defenseman, was out. And they threw a kid named Bear in there who's played very well. But he was an unknown commodity. I think that's what the Leafs are hoping that
Kaskasua is going to be.
Is he gets in there and goes, I'm going to give you a game here. Like, that's
at some point, someone has to do that.
Somebody has to do that.
They can't go 0-20 or whatever it is in back-to-backs and backup opportunities. But, you know, as much as there's been some adversity here, there's going to be adversity. Every team is going to deal with it at some point. Again, you got 9 games between now and December 1st. And at that point, they'll have been 28 games into the season. That's U.S. Thanksgiving. That is a big barometer point in the NHL. And again, it doesn't mean that they can't get hot in the final 50 games or cold in the final 50 games, but at some point you've got to prove it to yourself that you've got a group that can do some damage this season. And from a fan perspective, you're waiting for a moment to be proud of this team, to feel like passionate about this team, because they have not offered that up.
No.
They have not played in a fashion where you'd
play 35 minutes of uninspired hockey and then turn it on and say, we really care about this, and maybe get it back and maybe don't.
Right.
That's basically what they've been throwing out on the ice.
Yeah. And symbolically, I think that's what kind of tonight represents against a very good Islander team. Tavares is going back.
If they throw out 35 minutes of uninspired hockey tonight, they'll be down 3-0.
Yeah,
it'll be game over.
But they won't be able to get it back.
No,
that's the one.
They'll lock it down and they'll say, you're not doing this against us.
The Islanders are pretty
good. Not Chicago, where they'll give up 3 or 4 in the third. These guys will lock it down.
Well, and that's the one thing I was looking. I've done the Islander games twice in the last 2 weeks. Like, that team is very well rounded. And, you know, that's a Lou team. Lou has tough guys in his lineup. He has guys that play irritable. He's got skill in Barzal and Anders Lee and guys like that, Josh Bailey. And you know, I look at it, the coach has everyone playing the same way. They play the same way, and I call it plug and play. Doesn't matter. You take Robin Lehner out there, put Semyon Varlamov in the net. Makes the same saves because they give up a certain amount of chances. The goalie should be trusted to make saves. And their D play the same way. Like, they hit you with wave after wave. And, you know, the Leafs can't just show up and go, oh, you know what, we got some really talented players. You guys should just hand us the win. Because the Islanders will say, to hell with you.
Like, well, that hasn't happened at any point this year. I mean, the Leafs, again, have not had an overly impressive game at any point. I mean, no one's going to do that for you. And the Islanders, they're playing a system and a style that is conducive to winning every single night.
Yep.
So, you know, the Islanders are showing up tonight fully expecting to win. They're not worried about the Leafs. They wouldn't be worried about anybody. But they're definitely not worried about this Leaf team because this Leaf team is not chugging. So here's your opportunity. Tonight, 3 of the next 4 nights you got games, or 3 of the next 4 nights, and it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Like Islanders, Boston, Pitt. And then you hit the road. Nine games between now and December 1st.
Arizona, Colorado. That's not a joke of a trip,
man. That's almost as tough as it gets for a three-game run.
That's 5 years ago, the California trip almost.
Right.
You're right, because Arizona?
They're in right now.
They're in, and they are a moldy team. Like, they just work and work and work, and then they score at the end, and they force it to overtime, and they do this. Like, they're a team a lot like the Islanders, where if you look at them, they may not be the most sexiest team on paper, and then all of a sudden you're like, man, they're a lot better than you think.
Yep. Yeah, Arizona's Rick Tockett like has that. Got them playing.
Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil's just going to go out there every night and do his thing. And
Uncle Phil's not exactly chugging along himself.
No.
He's not on a point-per-game pace.
No.
But he can break out at any point.
Exactly. He's a threat.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that is kind of what we're dealing with starting tonight. You know, a real fork in the road. And I think the coach, you know, Babcock has to understand that too.
Right.
Because if we wake up on December 1st and they're 3-4 points out of a playoff spot and continuing to play like they've been playing,
right,
it's going to be so loud. And that doesn't mean Dubas and Shanahan have to listen to it. They've done a very good job of not listening to it. They just go about their business. But it's not going to quiet down.
No.
Right.
It's just going to amplify.
Yeah.
Get louder and louder.
If they're junked the next month, that'll be...
Yeah, it'll be these guys have checked out on them, or they're not listening to them, they're not working for them.
Yeah.
And if they're still, you know, the special teams are ugly, inconsistent efforts, that's where we're going to be. Or we could be, again, on December 1st, they've run off an unbelievable run. They go 6-3 or 7-2, and you're like, here we go. That's the team we've been waiting for.
Yeah, that we thought they were.
Absolutely. Jason Strudwick in about 10 minutes. Ray Ferraro on the show today. Jerry's percentages coming up.
Lots going on.
There's a lot going on. Raptors in Portland tonight. We'll tee that up. They're underdogs in Portland. I think they enjoy being underdogs. I wouldn't be surprised if they knew the spread. Like, athletes always tried to convince me when I've asked them before that they don't pay attention to that stuff. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Like, in football, if you play in the NFL or CFL, how can you not know what the spread is of the game you're playing?
I never paid attention to it. I had one of my best friends who started gambling on hockey, and I was like, dude, I don't want to know about it. Don't ask me about it. Don't ask me if you think my team's going to win or what the hell's going on, because I want nothing to do with it. Those NHL security meetings, they tell you right away. Yeah. Anybody ever ask you questions like that, you know, you don't want to hear anything about it.
Yeah,
that's your only answer.
Guys in track suits that show up.
Right.
You know,
well, I'm not saying, you know, that... You know about it because your buddies are calling you.
Well, hey, you might
I'm
have
saying,
coffee
if you're
in the
online,
morning, you're reading the paper.
Nowadays.
Exactly.
Like,
it's everywhere.
You could see Proline or the ticker or anything.
You play in the NFL. How could you possibly not know what
you
the
have
line
a whole
is?
Week to watch it.
How could you not know? How?
You know.
Like, there's no way you can't know what the line is on your game.
I wonder if a guy has been in the clear and dropped a ball and be like, I just screwed everyone by accident. You know what I mean? Not like...
Yeah, it wasn't
consciously,
like
you're running back to the huddle and be like, I just jammed up a bunch of gamblers. I don't think you'd think that.
I think they might think like that when it comes to fantasy, because like if you're on social media, if you're a running back and you fumble the ball or whatever, you know your mentions, and it's gross. It shouldn't happen. It's not like
we
a stable person would do this, but
you'd be all over people. I'm lucky. We didn't play in the social media era. Like, I don't know how guys do it now, where they flat out say, like, I can't open my mentions because people just go nuts. People are crazy online.
Yeah,
although we
way,
do have a little help here. Do you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Lisa from the lead on Team Homan reached out to us.
Wow. And wants to what?
Said, I will help. Let's see here. If you guys need some coaching, and she put the curling rock there.
Yeah, we do.
Let you know.
Okay. Shout out to Lisa.
Yeah, and by the way, we're talking about the injuries in the NHL. You look at Colorado, what that McKinnon does every night, and guess who's not playing with him?
Rantanen.
Both of his wingers.
Did you see how gross he was last night?
Oh, my God. That guy is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Easily. Look, he's looking for a Hart Trophy, that character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's good.
Oh, man.
He's so
fast.
Good.
There was one time Donskoy had the puck in the neutral zone. McKinnon he was like, give me the puck. You're too slow. He's going 100 miles an hour and just ripped it by the goalie. Because that's how I do it. It was so ridiculous.
It was.
Yeah, he's in a pretty good spot right now.
It's gross.
Pretty good player.
Yeah.
All right, Jason Strudwick coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Maple Leafs in action tonight. Raptors in action tonight. Thursday night or tonight or tomorrow night features the Browns, Steelers Browns. So Baker Mayfield will be back in the spotlight tomorrow night.
I think it's to a point where people are hate watching him.
Oh,
yeah,
you want him to lose.
It's hate watching.
Yeah, you'll hate watch him because you want him to lose.
Yeah,
he's
and he just loves himself. Another prime, kind of prime situation, and it's like, why is it you? Like,
well, everyone has to play on a Thursday night. So, I mean, if Roethlisberger was playing and the Steelers were a quality team, although they've got themselves back into the mix a little bit,
right?
It's not a great game, and ultimately, I think I'll be watching because I want to see Baker Mayfield fail or Freddie Kitchens look like just a completely
bad call,
just a lost soul on the sideline, man.
Bad call. It does.
But see, people it's are watching call. That. You're watching to see if Freddie Kitchens is lost and out to lunch, and then you're hate watching. Hoping that Baker Mayfield just serves up muffins.
What I hope happens is they keep losing, and they realize, you know what we need to solidify?
What?
Our running back position. And they go down to Oklahoma State, and they look at a running back by the name of Chuba Hubbard.
Yes.
Who is the native of Edmonton, Alberta. The pride and joy of Edmonton, Alberta.
Exactly.
And he idolized you growing up.
Yeah.
He loved Aginla.
Yeah.
Loved Tyson Nash. And we wanted to ask him before he came on, what about Jason Strudwick? Where does Struddy rank in terms of your all-time favorite natives of Edmonton, Alberta? Here's what Chuba said yesterday.
I actually haven't. No, I haven't heard of him.
Good.
That's exactly what we wanted to hear. Had not heard of Struddy. Here's Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio out in Edmonton, and former Oiler and native of Edmonton, Alberta. What's up, Struddy?
Well, that's hurtful, you know. Like I have an ego, you know. I mean, I don't remember signing an autograph for the young man, but you know, like I'm not top maybe 50, but in the top 60 Edmontonian athletes, probably right up there with Chris Dingman, or you know, you mentioned Tyson Nash, someone like that, right? Yeah.
Well, where would Noodles rank, you think, on that list?
Oh, well. You know, maybe for longevity of career, pretty high, but actual athletic ability, quite low. Like, really low. Like, you know, when you go to Vegas and you wear a wetsuit into the pool and you're an NHL player, it's not a good sign. You know, it's usually a pretty negative sign.
Yeah, that means right. Your core is non-existent.
Right in the middle of my career.
Wetsuit? I love it. I'm the one to talk.
I'm the only guy who wore a wetsuit and used a straw at the pool in
just sending a vibe out in Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, you put a robe. You had a robe on. We went with Chris Pronger one time, and Noodles wore a robe the whole time. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're not going to get sunburned, you know? It's the middle of the night. But for him, it worked, I guess. You know, he had his own style. Like, what was that guy? Hugh Hefner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
There you go. Well, Hugh used to, like, soil himself late in his career, I think. It got a little bit ugly for you.
It didn't go well.
I hope that wasn't the case for you in Vegas.
It may have been in Vegas. Let's be honest.
Diaper underneath the rope.
Let's be honest. Yeah. It is Vegas.
Well, it's true. It wouldn't be the first time. How are you surviving out there, Strudy, with Mitch Marner going on the IR? He's not going to be playing for about a month.
Yeah, I saw that. That's too bad. You know what's funny? I love to kind of give the Leafs a hard time, but I like that team. I like watching them play. And it's, you know, from here, it seems like there's a lot of negativity directed to our team that's doing okay, considering maybe Tavares has been out and then now Marner out. And so, like, it's not even fun to really go on. And not that they're playing that badly, but it's funny how every market kind of has their, you know, really gives their hometown team a hard time. And, yeah, from what I've seen, the Leafs can improve. But given what they've been through, I think that, you know, quite a few people are a little too harsh on the group. And it's still early in the year. So I think you got to back off a little bit. I know that with Marner on the IR, I'm surprised you're even at work.
No, I know.
But, you know, life goes on, buddy. You know?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm a professional, man. I got to fight through the emotions. surely people in Edmonton are not giving the Oilers a tough time. Like, people must be parading in the streets. I mean, they're off to a great start.
They are. You know, and it's a real... to be totally honest, I was one of the geniuses that picked them outside the playoffs. And, they're trending towards a real close run to the playoffs or in the playoffs. And I got to say, as good as Leon Draisaitl's play, as well as, you know, we've seen goaltending with Koskinen and Mike Smith, and even You know, Connor McDavid, who's having a good year, but I still think he has another gear. I really think that the guy who's brought this all together was because of an injury. That's Ethan Bear, the right shot defenseman, young guy, didn't get an NHL game last year, and he's coming in here banging out 20-some minutes a night on average. And what he does better than any D-man the Oilers have right now is small passes. So he goes back into the puck's dumped in. He's a right shot defenseman, goes into his corner. He gets his feet organized, gets the feet underneath him, turns up the ice, and it's a quick little pass to the Senmen, who are coming really low for the Oilers. And, you know, that is taking so much pressure off the Oilers' D-zone play. It gets it up the ice quickly, and it's an element that the Oilers hadn't have enough of. Darnell Nurse can carry the puck. He's not, you know, he's not the same type of one-pass player as Ethan Bear. Klefbom, you know, he's a little bit more of a stretch guy. But what Ethan Bear has done is helped out so much on that right side. And when Adam Larson comes back, I think you keep Nurse and Bear together. And now then you put the Swedes together, and then that reinforces your third pairing even more. Pairing that's been, you know, off and on, kind of Russell and Benning. But that Ethan Bear has been... MVP might be a little bit dramatic, you know, but as far as the unsung hero, he is the story of the season for this group.
Well, you know, for everyone else that isn't tracking Edmonton on a daily basis, I think it's the just outrageous numbers Draisaitl and McDavid are putting up.
Right.
Like, that's what the rest of the league and the rest of the country is talking about.
Yeah, we've been not arguing, but, like, Draisaitl has looked better than McDavid some nights where you're like, it's ridiculous, but... You know, what are they saying in the market, Strutty? Like, is Draisaitl more valuable? And we all know what McDavid is. He's the best player in the world. But is Draisaitl right there?
Well, I've been saying since these two came on the scene that when the Oilers win a Stanley Cup, they need to be on different lines because they bring something different. You know, people love that big, playmaking, strong, scoring centerman. And that's what Draisaitl is. Like, he can play against other teams' top lines. Not that Connor can't. But Leon in a playoff series will not get worn down. He's big. He's strong. He's got a little bit of attitude. You know, I think of attitude, I think of a guy like Mikko Rantanen. It isn't going to accept getting bullied by people. And you see Draisaitl turn on guys, you know, when it's needed. So, you know, he is a huge part of what they're doing. You know, they have to obviously find some help on the wings and sort some of that stuff out. But with James Neal, the way he's scoring. But they're a really good complement because they're not similar. They both think the game really well. They're both really smart. You know, Connor's super fast, blazing speed, and puts people on their heels. Whereas Leon, he's fast, but he can also make different plays. So as a defenseman, I can tell you, you know, there's not one you're like, yeah, I'd rather have this guy or that guy. You know, like I remember playing against Eric Lindros. I love playing against Eric because he looked for contact, and I wanted that. And so you're like, well, I played against that good player. Then the next night I'd be playing against, you know, O-Dog's team there of with Ronnie Francis, and these guys would just pass it around because they weren't looking for the contact. In the same way, so it's a really different look that these two centermen will provide. The challenge for the group is to find a way to separate them and build up the wings so they can be on different lines and they can each bring a different dynamic to a line and really pose challenges for other team because they're both going to get 100 points this year. And I recognize they're together, but when you split them up, that's where it's really going to be a problem for matchup issues.
Strutty, your assignment wasn't our line. Don't forget that.
But it was one. I know it. I shouldn't even tell this story. I remember I was playing for Vancouver, and I went. And Mark Crawford's like, Strutty, you're playing against. I think it was you, Kapanen, and Ron Francis. And I remember said, well, I'm in better shape than him, but I'm probably not better players. After the first period and a half, I was -3. He comes down. He's like, you're playing against the other line. He's like, no problem. I was done. And that was my time as a top pairing defenseman. I was off right away. So thanks, O-Dog. You owe me, buddy, for that one. Actually.
Yeah. I love that.
-3.5
check,
a
please.
Game.
Halfway through, I'm done.
It was... Yeah, well, fair. Yeah, to be fair, I got back to even, right? I got a couple goals that game, but...
Yeah, that's why they call it a 60-minute game, Strutty. You chip away at the big picture, buddy.
We won't get you to tell
the... I played 600.
Well, we won't get you to tell the story. Weren't you -5 in New York one night?
Yeah, -5. My butt. Oh, geez. Gabrick had a hat trick, and I'm -4. And you're like, hey, -4 isn't bad, but -5 is awful. And my partner, we're in like the last few minutes. Tom Gilbert comes around the net in our own zone, passes the puck up. I'm playing for the Oilers. He passes it right up to middle on the stick of Gabrick, who's on fire, and he's right in the slot. I don't even try. I just start skating towards the bench, And obviously Gabrick scores. Tom Gilbert comes to the bench. He's like, I owe you one. I'm like, thanks. I didn't play for a month, a whole month after that minus five. I was losing my mind. I was so mad. That bald blondie throws a cherry right up the middle to the most dangerous player on the other team. I would have run him over if he was in the right place.
You needed to play in the analytics, Sarah. I'll bet you were minus five, but like a 52% Corsi that night.
Not
Strutty.
Your fault. Not your fault.
Yeah, you were pushing play, yeah, buddy.
Even in that game, even if you counted our shots for and warm up against our own goalie, I still would have been a minus negative Corsi player in that game.
Just one timers in the slot and warm up, and he's still just getting snowed in. Well, it happens to everyone at some point. We always appreciate it, Strutty. We'll do it again down the road, buddy.
Yeah. Hopefully Marner gets back soon, buddy. Rest easy.
Yeah, I will. Don't you worry.
Strutty, before you hang up, you got to give us the outfit update. You got the jeans on today for the grocery store or no?
I didn't want to brag. I'm actually going to a date night. My wife's out to a Broadway show here in Edmonton, and I have one of the tightest shirts. It's a striped shirt. I look a little bit like Where's Waldo, but it fits well. And I had a good workout this morning. So, dog, you'd appreciate it. It's not like your suit that has your own picture inside it. I can't believe that a guy just randomly did that for you. What a crazy thing he did that without even asking you. But my shirt still looks good.
Strutty, would you ever dare to wear a turtleneck?
Oh, I have in the past, but I'm probably not going to now. No, why? Who's wearing it? Well, dog, you don't have a turtleneck.
Dog wore a turtleneck on the show yesterday, and I had to bring up the story of how our buddy Bobba wore one at the roast. But like, you don't see them anymore.
You don't. And was it laundry day yesterday?
No,
you
ran out of every they're brand new, buddy. Brand new. They're coming out. They're back in, pal. Me and Drake, we wear them.
What's next? You're going to have a Washington Redskins shirt? You know those holy ones? Those jerseys are all holes.
The perforated ones.
Yeah. those will swing back.
No, that's not next for me, buddy.
Well, you know what? You could probably pull it off. I got to get a picture. Send me a picture, News. I want to see this guy in a turtleneck.
All right.
It was trending online yesterday. We'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Okay. See you guys. Right on.
Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio in Edmonton. Famous native of Edmonton, Alberta as well.
So funny.
Yeah. Always great catching up with him.
Minus five.
Minus five.
Dash three against you. That's funny. Yeah, he would have been mismatched.
I like how that's the first guy I've ever heard saying he wanted to play Lindros.
Because he, well,
like I contact, get it, it's contact, right? But you know,
yeah, that still, probably wouldn't end very well.
No, not many guys were like, "Oh, this is great." Lindros, I'm playing him tonight. That's what I want.
That was the scariest thing ever.
Yeah,
he's not wrong though. Like a guy like Pavel Bure, if you're a defenseman, this guy's coming. You're like, what am I going to do?
If you can't skate, like, and I mean at the NHL level, of course, everyone can skate. But
I love before the game, everyone's like, guys, make sure you watch Pavel Bure. He hangs out at the far blue line. Everyone's like, yeah, watch Bure. First period, three breakaways, hanging out at the far blue line. And everyone's like, what did we just talk about?
Yeah, but
that was the whole pregame speech. Watch Bure. Three breakaways.
It's asinine, though. Like, you're not going to stop the guy. Like,
when Kovalchuk broke in, too, same thing. Watch this guy. He's going to get three breakaways. Can't stop it.
Mike Milbury said to us in L.A. the one night, he's like, got to keep an eye on Gretzky. Like, he gets the puck, go to him. I'm like, doesn't he have 1,000 assists?
Yeah, good idea. Like, yeah, go around one end of the ring, out of the net.
Go to him.
Yeah, go to him, and then he saucers it to somebody else. Like, ridiculous.
We have to watch Gretzky. Great coaching.
Spengler Cup. I guess he turned down that opportunity. Not like anybody's surprised by that. I was shocked he was even going to be asked to go coach the Spengler Cup.
I don't think he wants to coach.
No, it's not. He's not looking to get back into the game, as far as I know, in terms of coaching. You know, Spengler Cup.
If it's a PR move, it was brilliant. People are talking about the Spengler Cup.
Yeah, and from that standpoint, you're not wrong. But once the Spengler Cup comes around and it's up against the World Juniors, I think we know what the country is going to be watching. Yeah. Ray Ferraro in about 15. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. All right, Ray's coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll tee up the Leaf game with him tonight. A bunch of storylines around the NHL. We'll touch on the Islanders as well. As, you know, they've been playing consistently. They've been winning. Yep. They're picking up points. They were a playoff team a year ago. I thought they'd take a step back early into the season. You got to believe that's not going to happen. It looks like they're taking a step or two forward.
And that Barry Trotz, just he collects wins, man. He just collects wins.
Well, they're good. They're. It's the way the team is constructed, too.
I know. They'll just bring in guys like Brassard, though, and they just find a way to fit in.
Makes
it
a million bucks. They found him. You know, Brassard's their third-line centerman. Makes $1 million.
Yeah, we'll get into that with Ray. This Colin Kaepernick story.
It's bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
Who's he working out for?
He's working out for every team, is the understanding. So he's going to be down in Atlanta. He's using the Falcons facility on Saturday afternoon. It sounds as if Goodell or someone in the NFL just called him up or called up his camp and said, almost take it or leave it. This Saturday, we're going to make sure all 32 teams are represented. But we don't know what that means. Like GMs, scouts.
Area scout goes and watches.
Who's going to be there? I don't know. You know, the skeptic in me would suggest maybe this was a part of the agreement. Like the settlement that...
Oh, yeah, you get to work out for...
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Just, it kind of felt like the Kaepernick story...
Was dying down.
Yeah, like
it
kind of blown over. I thought
it was done. Got a settlement, he's done.
Right. And now all of a sudden he's getting this workout where now the NFL media is right back on it again. Like, okay, what does this mean? Does this mean he's getting back into the game? Is he saying that he's not going to kneel anymore during the anthem? Like, what does it mean? Is he going to speak on it? I have no idea, but it seems...
The timing of it is
so strange.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in 3 years, and now all of a sudden, before week 11, he's going to have a tryout for every team in the league? When they could have called him in at any point or looked at his tape or called up his agent?
And what team would say watch it and say, yeah, we got to bring him in here?
Like what team?
Cincinnati? I don't know. They've gotten rid of their veteran guy and have a young guy in there now, or whatever the situation. Their season's a write-off. Like, what do you think, Miami's going to go bring him in? Who's going to bring him in?
And it's not like he's 26. I believe he's 32.
32 now.
Yeah.
Has not played in 3 years. Was not, like, at his prime for, you know, it's been, like, 5 years since he was the Kaepernick that was, like, a real star.
Yeah, I think the story is dead.
Well, now it's not.
Okay, but...
Now it's going to be, well, they didn't really send people.
After this workout, I think it dies down because I don't think anybody says, yeah, we got to put him on our roster.
I'm skeptical that anybody's going to sign him either at this point, but we'll get more into it in the next hour. This baseball Houston Astros sign-stealing story is blowing up.
I think it's amazing. You tip off your signs, forget about it.
Okay, we'll touch on that more next.